Earlier this year, President Trump proposed a budget that would have effectively eliminated the National Endowment for the Arts, among other federal cultural agencies. Now, the High Museum is leading a united advocacy campaign for arts funding. We've invited High Museum Executive Director Rand Suffolk and Wonderroot Executive Director Chris Appleton on City Lights to tell us more. Rand and Chris, welcome and thank you for coming here.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
This is a postcard writing campaign. I love how last century that is in the form of postcards. Rand, how does it work?
Well, this was an idea that I think was initially conceived from some of our staff members at the museum that were increasingly concerned after the White House suggested, as you mentioned, the complete elimination of funding for some of these wildly important federal fundings for or federal programs for the arts. And we started to think a little bit more about it, and we kind of came to the conclusion that perhaps we should blow it up. Maybe we should expand the circle. And as opposed to simply holding it for among staff members, that we should reach out. Maybe it had legs. It would reach out to our own audience, and then we could expand that even further to a number of other cultural organizations and their audiences to do something much more significant. And so we started talking a little bit internally about how we would take advantage of the audience that was coming for a number of our programs. And then I reached out to Chris and also Andrea Brownwell Brownlee, the director of the Spelman College Museum of Art, to see if they thought that there was an opportunity to do something a little bit more, and that's what we did.
Chris, how did Wonderroot decide to get involved when Rand contacted you?
Well, we have been engaged in a number of advocacy initiatives, both locally and nationally, much of which through Americans for the Arts, our country's leading arts advocacy organization based in D.C., and had been talking about what action we could take as an organization, how we could get our audience, our constituents engaged in some education and advocacy work about the threat and potential elimination of the NEA and NEH. And so when Rand called Andrea and I over for lunch, it was a great opportunity to plug in.
Are you using postcards that have original artwork on them?
Well, all the postcards are branded. It's hashtag Georgia Arts Futures. And what we're really encouraging is for people when they're at any of our places to come in and write a postcard to whoever their congressional delegate is. And we provide addresses and we provide the postage and so forth. And it's really just about, as Chris has said, the goal here is volume. I mean, ultimately, wave after wave after wave, if we're all sending a few hundred to a few thousand of these postcards every week, we'll hopefully send a very important message to our congressional delegation about the ongoing importance of the arts in our lives.
In so many ways, the federal budget operates in a sort of zero-sum model, right? So there are many advocacy initiatives, lobbying efforts out there for other federal departments and other federal initiatives, and it's important that we here in Georgia and in the region are educating our constituents about how they need to be in touch with our congressional representatives to be vocal and talk about the importance art, culture, humanities have to the state of Georgia, the educational impact, the economic impact. It's very important, and we hear all the time from the folks that we serve that they believe that the NEA is important, that the NEA funding things here in the state, both in urban areas and in rural areas, is very important. And so we are trying to create a mechanism, have created a mechanism through which the folks we serve can be in touch with their congressional representatives.
Yeah, and hats off to you for that, because I'm not sure everyone or how many people realize that those national organizations like NEA, NEH, that filters into the state appropriations, such as the Georgia Arts Future, you know, that we can't continue to thrive here if national funding is let go, because, in fact, state agency does the Georgia the Georgia Arts Council receives a certain amount of its funding from NEA. Is that correct?
I'm not sure, but if it's like most other states, that in fact is the case. And then the Arts Council would be a re-granting organization to cultural organizations across the entire state.
It is. It's actually in Georgia, it's a one-to-one match. So Georgia Council for the Arts, they get a great deal of their funding from the NEA that then gets passed through to organizations like the High Museum and Wonderroot, which are certainly at very different ends of the spectrum in terms of budget size. But also important to mention that Georgia Council for the Arts has a great granting program. It's called the Vibrant Communities Grant, and it's really targeting rural small towns across the state of Georgia. And so I think what's important for folks to hear, you know, this isn't just about, you know, funding from the art for the arts from the NEA in the city of Atlanta. This is across the entire state.
Chris, this is a very important point you're making, because it would a reduction in NEA funding, let alone a complete elimination of such an organization as the NEA, would disproportionately affect some rural and smaller urban communities. Why is it important then to bring other organizations into this campaign? It's not just a matter of the big Atlanta organization saying, here, we want you to be able to survive too. There's another component in this advocacy.
Well, I think that as you said, there would be those rural communities would be profoundly impacted by the loss of this funding. In the larger cities and communities, there's, you know, a multiplicity of activities and organizations that would continue to provide some level of funding. But in some of these places, that's the only funding they get. And it's remarkable how creatively and responsibly those smaller organizations use every single dollar that they get. And so it's really that important that we've hopefully created something that is simple but effective and easily replicable across the entire state. For any organization that wanted to do it, you can visit the High's website. You can download sort of the kit that we put together to kind of make this happen and so forth. But it's really a way to bring a multiplicity of voices to bear on this important topic.
Our situation is not identical, but we also faced and continue to be vulnerable to funding of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And, you know, that's a threat we live with. And yet, in major urban areas, the larger market licensees like ours would do stand to lose a tremendous amount of money. For the smaller markets, it would wipe them out. Mm-hmm. So this ecosystem and advocacy for all is essential to the survival.
It's so important. And when doing advocacy work, you know, it's my I get paid to advocate for arts and culture funding and to educate folks about it. And so when the people who are listening to me on the other side, they know that, right? They know it's my job to do it. And so the really important thing is making sure that we are activating our audiences and the people that we serve who are voters, who are citizens, that are electing the folks in office, that are making decisions about what happens at the federal level. And then, you know, as we've mentioned, all the way down to the local level. So we got to activate those folks, and you got to make it simple to do it. And that's why Wonderroot's so excited to be a part of this Georgia Arts Future campaign with the High Museum and Spelman and so many other folks.
If you are just joining us, this is City Lights on WABE. Our guests are High Museum of Art Director Rand Suffolk alongside Wonderroot Executive Director Chris Appleton. We're talking about the Georgia Arts Future Advocacy Campaign. Many argue that the federal government shouldn't have a role in the arts, that funding should be up to local governments or philanthropy and individual patronage, forget government altogether. Chris, what have you discovered about when national leadership prioritizes an issue, how local leadership follows?
Well, I believe that budgets reflect the values of our leaders. Budgets reflect the values of our elected officials. And we have seen at Wonderroot, we have seen in Atlanta, when the NEA has stepped in and funded our work. Great example is some work that we're doing and have been doing the last couple of years with MARTA, the transit agency, and some development around around a handful of transit stations. NEA has come in and funded sort of a creative placemaking approach to that work that private philanthropy, both national and local, has stepped in to match that. And the federal funding really catalyzes our local support, and that's really important. Otherwise, Wonderroot wouldn't be able to galvanize the local support that that is so important and makes the work happen.
But there is also an element of commitment then when you have the local support. So the national just is not a given that, you know, you're bestowed this gift. I think with the local advocacy, people are invested. There was a fabulous documentary that came out a couple of years ago about Julius Rosenwald and the Rosenwald Foundation funding of Rosenwald schools in mostly rural areas for African Americans in the late 40s, early 50s. And he gave an enormous amount of money for these schools. He could have funded 100%, but he made it a condition that 30% was raised from the communities. So there would be this local buy-in and commitment. And I think what you're doing is impressive because it's not just saying, okay, we need to take this to our local level, but it's educating and generating commitment from Georgia's citizens.
We hope. I think it needs to be both and, right? It needs to come not only from the local community, but also our government. And so, I mean, as you were just describing it, it really needs to be a collective understanding and appreciation regarding the fact that when we're talking about engagement with complex culture, you know, with the work that Chris and the other cultural organizations do around this community, that ultimately we know what happens is that that spurs creativity, it engenders empathy, it encourages innovation, it teaches people how to communicate in verbal and nonverbal ways. And what I like to tell people is whether we're talking about, you know, the classroom, the office space, or frankly, our own backyard, those traits are going to be the traits of successful communities in the 21st century. And we can either appreciate and embrace that and cultivate that as a society and as a community, or there's a really good chance that other people are going to do it and we're going to be left behind. And I'm not sure that's where Atlanta or frankly the state of Georgia or our country wants to be or should be.
It's in your kit. Are there statistics? Is there educational material such as, you know, what you just outlined in bullet points?
Well, there is background information regarding the number of cultural organizations over, I think, the course of the past 5 years that have received federal funding for the arts. So people know, you know, they may remember certain exhibitions or projects that they were touched by that they didn't necessarily realize were part of NEA funding. So we provided that. We've provided some other basic statistics about the importance of that, those funds. And then, again, we've just given people the tools to be able to reach out and touch their legislators.
Rand Suffolk is the executive director of the High Museum of Art. Chris Appleton co-founded Wonderroot, where he is also executive director. Thank you both. Thank you for this advocacy effort and for joining us on City Light.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
We'll have this interview along with more information online at wabe.org/citylights. You can also learn more at high.org/GAArtsFuture.